Well, we can't take too long. We got a hockey game coming on here shortly. There's a couple good games on tonight. How many hockey fans do we have in here? Anybody like hockey? I can get behind that. I can totally support that. Well, tonight, we're going to be talking about the hindrances of faith. Hockey might be one of them. I'm not quite sure. So tonight, we're talking about some hindrances of faith. And so I want you to, y'all to turn over in your Bibles tonight, and we'll look at it in the New Living Translation. We'll be looking at some different translations. But in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. And if we can go over there, here we go. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. You see, we are called to fight the good fight of faith, or fight the good fight for the true faith. Everyone say true faith. Now, when you see the word fight there, that means that you have to contend for it. You have to do something. When you're fighting, when you're doing that, that's a type of work. You're putting energy into it, some effort into it. Okay? You have to do something. Everyone say, do something. So, this scripture, I want you to keep your finger in that scripture verse, and we'll come back to that one in a little bit. But for every believer, follower of Christ, we have been given so much. I mean, every spiritual blessing belongs to me and you, scripture tells us. And the things that Jesus Christ has done for us when he died on the cross, come on now. I mean, he's made such a beautiful way for us. The way of salvation is so wonderful. But now, let me tell you something. Once we become born again, that's not where it stops. See, sometimes we think, okay, I'm born again. Hallelujah. I'm going to heaven. I got fire insurance. Well, there's more to it than that, okay? You know, before Jesus, you think about what your life was like. You know, some of the stuff that you got into. Oh, boy. You know? You were going down a path that probably wasn't the greatest. Heading down that highway to hell. It's an inside joke there, because apparently our young adults make fun of us, pastors, guys, because they're saying, who's going to play air guitar or piano when they're preaching? And what are they going to sing? So, and they also got us down to what type of genre music we're going to sing. Is it a country song? Is it a rock song? So this is what the kids do, all right? But yeah, you know, we were traveling down a road that probably wasn't the greatest. But thanks be to God, he made that way a salvation for me and you. Aren't you thankful for salvation tonight?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. Now, we have to understand too, like I said, the buck doesn't stop there, just at salvation. With that, we have to fight for our faith. We have to work at it. We have something that we're supposed to be doing. Because there are hindrances that's going to try and knock you off your A game, that's going to come across you, and that's going to cause you to stumble and fall, and you're not going to be able to succeed in your Christian walk the way you're supposed to. Amen? And so there's many things, you know, I've come across in my life, you know, that has been hindrances and stumbling blocks and things like that, that has caused me to stumble and, you know, not stay focused the way I should be focused and, you know, fall into traps here and there. And, you know, the big important thing is not to stay there, is to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and keep moving forward. You know, when you make a mistake, well, it's a mistake. Chalk it up to education. Don't go back there. You learn something what not to do. Amen? So, you know, like I said, you know, there are enemies to our faith, hindrances that buffet us from receiving what God has. So let's take a look at these guys. The first one that I want to talk about is the failure to understand what it means to be a new creature in Christ. Turn over in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the Amplified Classical. The Classical Edition. That's Pastor got me using the Classical Edition. That's a good one. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation. Everyone say new creation.
New creation.
A new creature altogether. Wow, crazy. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. You see, when you became born again, your spirit was completely recreated. You are no longer that old person that you were. Now, let me tell you something. That doesn't mean that the flesh is caught up. Because sometimes the flesh is a little slow. Come on now. And so that means that the flesh, you know, you got to work at that. There's times when you become born again. There's people, you know, and you were addicted before to different things. Maybe you're smoking or drinking or whatever. And then after you become born again, and, you know, it's like, oh, you still got those urges. You still got those things, you know. And that doesn't mean you're not saved. That means that you now have to do something. You hear me? Now, the real you, your spirit, it's a new creation in Christ. So now we got the work to do is make our body line up with the Word of God. Amen?
Yeah.
So therefore, let's read this again. So therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. See, we need to understand that we are a new creature in Christ. We are not the way that we used to be anymore, ladies and gentlemen. So that means that we actually have to work at it, and we have to maybe change a few things in our life. Now, that's not always the most comfortable thing in the world. You know, sometimes there's things that you just love to do, and, you know, sometimes it's hard to give up habits. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody have a habit once upon a time that you had to kick? One person. Well, Jerry, thank you for being honest, Jerry. I'm going to preach to Jerry tonight. Anyone else in here had a bad habit and it was hard to kick? Come on, let me see those hands. Yeah? All right, the rest of you still got bad habits. Okay, that's what we'll have an altar call right after, okay? We'll take care of that tonight. Well, there you go, dealing with that stuff. It can be tough. But the failure to understand what it means to be a new creature in Christ will cause you to stumble and as a hindrance. So therefore, if we don't understand who we are in Christ and our position in Christ, well, then we really don't know who we are now, do we? Now, if this was Bible school, I'd ask our Bible school students, who are we in Christ? And if you've been in my righteousness class, the answer would be? Say that again. We are right standing, yeah. We are right standing. We're a new creature. That's right. We are the righteousness of God in Christ, is who we are. That means we are in Christ. Come on now. We're not that old person that we used to be anymore. You're a new person. Point to yourself and say, I'm a new person. Look at your neighbor and say, thank God you're a new person. Amen. Another thing that we have to understand here with this is that we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And so we've been talking about this in class, actually, the last few nights, about how we are joint heirs with Christ. So whatever God gave to Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, we have also. Scripture tells us that every spiritual blessing belongs to me and you. Just not some, just not a little bit, but Pastor Ken, every spiritual blessing belongs to me and you. So that means healing belongs to me and you. You hear me? Prosperity belongs to me and you. Come on now. Peace, joy, all those things. That's all mine and all yours. It belongs to us. Why? Because we are a new creature in Christ. We're not who we used to be. Now, how do we find out about these things? Well, first off, we got to get into the Word and see what the Word of God says. Because once again, okay, we became born again, but now the work begins. We get into the Word. We go to church. We hang out with people that's going to build us up and that's going to, you know, encourage us. You know, get into the Scriptures and see what Scripture has to say. Maybe you got to go to Faith Life Bible College that's starting in September. You know? Maybe you got to sign up for that. Because that's a life-changing experience. And if you want to grow your faith right there, am I right, students and graduates of FLBC? You know, I better get a kickback from this. Anyway, I'm telling you, that school, what we're doing, it's amazing what you learn. Every time I get up to teach, I learn something new. You know, let alone the students. Every time I sit down to study, I learn something new. See, you got to put the work in. Everyone say, put the work in. So our first one. Our first hindrance to faith is failure to understand what it means to be a new creature in Christ. The second one, failure or a hindrance to our faith is failure to understand our place in Christ. You see, this is another thing. Who I am in Christ is important, but also my place, my position in Christ as well. Ephesians 2:10. Turn over there in the New Living Translation. Ephesians 2:10, New Living Translation. And it says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew." Where? In Christ Jesus. So we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. All right. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. Let's look at that. New King James Version, please. "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God," where? "In Him." Brother Hagin published a mini book called In Him. And in that book, it makes reference and it brings out about 140 different scriptures about in Christ, in Him, in whom, in the Beloved, all those in the New Testament. The New Testament points us to the direction on who we are in Christ. And so if you don't have that book, it's only a little tiny slimline book. It's super small. You know, it's only about a dozen or so pages. You know, we got it there in the bookstore. And, you know, I would get that book. I remember one time I came home from Bible college when we were at Rhema. I came home and here was my wife sat down to her desk and she had the Bible open, she had a notebook, and she had the In Him book. I said, "What are you doing?" She goes, "I'm writing out all the scripture verses." I said, "You crazy? What are you doing that for?" "I just feel like it. I just felt inspired to do it." You know? And it was kind of interesting to see her sit down and do that, you know? And then there was certain scripture verses that she would, you know, she'd say, "Hey, Steve, look at this. Just read this," you know? And she'd show me. And I was like, "Wow, that's amazing," you know? I didn't know that was in there. And, you know, she kept doing that and writing them out and doing those things, you know? And so I'm not as adventurous as her. I just read them. I didn't write them out. But, you know, it's one of those things that we go to the scriptures, and it's important for us to read and see who you are in Christ. Amen? Because once again, that's another hindrance. If we don't know our position in Christ, well, then how are we supposed to, you know, be a mighty person of faith when we don't know who we are? Come on now. You see, we have to have an understanding of who Christ is to us and who we are to Him. It's very important for us to understand. That's a big hindrance. That's going to buffet you. That's going to cause you to stumble and fall and make mistakes and come across things. But if you know your position, when you're believing for something, you know what belongs to you. Amen? Healing belongs to me. Prosperity belongs to me. It's mine because I am in Christ. I'm a co-heir with Christ. That's who I am. The Bible says so. Amen? All right, don't shut me down because I'm preaching good. Third hindrance is the failure to understand righteousness. Righteousness, like we talked about, is right standing with God. What does that mean? You're where you're supposed to be with Him. 2 Corinthians 5:21 in the Amplified, classical. It says, "For our sake He made Christ virtually to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in through Him we might become a endued with, viewed as being in, an example of the righteousness of God, what we ought to be, approved and accepted in right relationship with Him by His goodness." See that right there? Approved and acceptable in the right relationship with Him by His goodness. Now, righteousness is one of the, you know, least understood biblical concepts. A lot of people struggle with righteousness. A lot of people get confused and they don't understand, you know, their righteousness and what it is. But it is very important. Righteousness is summed up this way. It is the right standing with God. We are where it's where we're supposed to be. It's that position that we're in with God. You ever heard the meaning right-hand man? That's my right-hand man, you know? That's the person that's right next to, that's important, that's there with you, working with you, right? They're in the position that they need to be in. Well, that's where we are, with Christ. We are at the right hand of the Father, seated with Christ, in the place of authority. But not only that, we are crowned with righteousness. We have righteousness because of what God did. Amen? He gave it to Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. He took our sin, sickness, our disease. He beat the devil. He gave him such a whipping. Amen? So that we would not have to pay that penalty, that death penalty of sin. And because he did that, he made us the righteousness of God in Christ. Scripture tells us that our own righteousness is as filthy rags. You know, there's nothing you can do that's going to be good enough. But because of what Jesus Christ did for me and you, we are more than good enough. Amen? We are the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen? That's who you are. You are blessed. You're in the place you're supposed to be. But see, if we don't understand our righteousness, well, then we're going to have some serious issues. We're going to have some problems because that's going to, you know, when the devil comes saying, you know what, you're not worthy. You're not good enough. I'm not good. The Lord's not going to heal you. You look at the stuff that you've done in your past. You're nothing but a dirty sinner. Look who you are. Who do you think you are? But you see, you got to tell the devil, listen, hold up now, buddy. I am the righteousness of God in Christ because I have Jesus on the inside of me. And because of what Jesus did, oh yeah, don't forget, he kicked your butt. He defeated you over 2,000 years ago. So listen now, Mr. Devil, let me tell you something here. You're the one that's not worthy to come at me because you're a defeated foe. I have the victory already. The Bible already says so. The Word of God is true. And if the Word of God says it, that settles it, and I'm okay with that. Amen? And so therefore, if we stand upon the Word of God, when the devil comes at you, and he's going to try and confuse you and tell you all those things, you're garbage, you're trash, you're dumb, you know, you're a Leafs fan, or whatever he's going to tell you, you know, whatever it is, you know, no, Mr. Devil, I ain't no Leafs fan. I'm a Bruins fan. No, that can be bad to worse. No, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. That's who I am. Point to yourself and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Well, settle down. You know, being the righteousness of God in Christ, it's so good to know that if we do mess it or mess up or do something wrong, he's going to do two things for us. Anybody know what those two things are? First off, he's going to forgive you. You ask for forgiveness, he's going to forgive you. And then, not only that, he's going to wipe away that stuff, that all unrighteousness. He's going to cleanse it, wipe it away. You're not going to hold on to that. He casts it into the sea of forgetfulness. He forgets about it, washes it away, it's gone. You know? But that doesn't give you, you know, the right away to go and sin like the devil, you know, all the time and do all those things. We're supposed to learn and grow, amen? That's good. All right, number four, the fourth hindrance, the failure to understand our right to use the name of Jesus. Well, we sing a song here, you know, this power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, you know? John chapter 16, verse 23 to 24, in the New Living Translation. And it says, at that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth. You will ask the Father directly, and he will grant your request because you use my name. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name, and you will receive, and you will have abundant joy. Come on now. If you need something in your life, you use that powerful name of Jesus. Come on. In Jesus' name. Amen? There's power in that name of Jesus. When we want to learn, when we learn about the awesome power that's in the name of Jesus and realize how mighty it really is, we can walk in victory time and time again. Come on now. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. Come on now. There's victory in the name of Jesus. Come on. We win in the name of Jesus. We've got prosperity in the name of Jesus. Sickness has to flee in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You think about the struggle that you're going through in your life right now, that mountain you're facing. You know, that trial you're facing right now. In the name of Jesus, it has to go. All throughout Scripture. You know, in the New Testament, we see what happens when Jesus speaks or when they use the name of Jesus. Things happen. Come on. And even today in this church, we've seen what happens in the name of Jesus. Come on. We see people set free. Come on. We see captives, you know, being loose. We see sickness and diseases disappearing. Come on now. We see blessings being poured out in the name of Jesus. Victory takes place in the name of Jesus. Remember what I said, what we act like when the Leafs win the Stanley Cup? We're going to go nuts. I'll even go nuts because they'll be in disbelief, you know? But come on now. I'll be excited. I'll be shouting around, cheering on too, you know? Because they won. They got the victory, which we might not see for another 50 years, but we'll still have faith, amen? We'll still stand firm. But we have victory in the name of Jesus. Everyone say victory.
Victory.
You know, let's look at this scripture verse. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 17. Is this okay? You guys getting anything? If not, I'm preaching myself happy anyway.
Victory.
There we go. Ed's awake. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, 17. And then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to who?
Everyone.
All right, let's keep going. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in what? In my name. And they will speak in new languages. Come on now. Hakuna Matata. Woo! Might have to cast out some demons up in here. They better settle down. I got the heckling section over here. See this? See what I got to put up with? Where's the ushers? Ushers? Bronson? Oh, man. You know you're allowed to have fun in church, right? You can have fun in church, and it's good to be able to have fun in church. Because if you just sat there, man, and afraid to move, am I supposed to laugh? The minister just said something funny. Should I laugh? No, you shouldn't. You know? And you go outside, and you go to smile, and you crack your face. Like, come on now. We get to be excited. We're in the house of the Lord, amen? You know, our God, He's a fun God. I know, He put these three gladios together. You know? He's got a big sense of humor. You know what I'm saying? He created you. You know? He created me. What a sense of humor. Amen? But these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. How many believers do we have in this place? Anybody? Well, there's going to be things that's going to... Miraculous signs will follow and accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Mr. Devil's going to be trying to have a heyday, and he is having a heyday. He's trying to do stuff. Well, you can speak to those little imps and tell them, get, go in the name of Jesus. Because if we know who Jesus is, if we have that relationship, we know what authority we have, we know the righteousness that we have, you know, if you understand your position in Christ, you tell devil, get, and he's got to go. Come on now. I'll quiet in here again. Victory. Hallelujah. There is power in the name of Jesus. So if you want to not have an hindrance to your faith, you know, if you want to cut that one out, you need to use the name of Jesus in your everyday life. And I don't mean in a cuss word either. I mean, you use the name the way it's supposed to be used, because there's power in that name. That's a sacred name. That's a holy name, and we were given that name to use. Amen? There's a reason why they said don't take the Lord's name in vain, you know, because that's a very powerful name. Number five, failure to act upon the word. That's his favorite one, Pastor Roma's. Failure to act upon the word. So what do you mean by the failure to act upon the word? Well, I'm glad you asked. I just want to tell you. Turn over in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean and do not depend on your own understanding. We got to trust in the Lord. So we put our trust in the Lord and do not depend on our own understanding. You see, our own thinking and our own intellect is what gets us in trouble. Because we try to reason things out so many times. You know? It's like when you're faced with situation or trials, it's like, how can I get through this? Well, that's your problem right there when you said, how can I do it? Because let me tell you something. It's not going to be very good if you've got to do it on your own. But when you say, okay, Lord, I'm going to need your help to get through this. And when you change the way that you talk, come on now. Well, then now you got to see what the Word of God says about that situation. And the Bible is full of scriptures that covers every situation that you'll face. I'm serious. Whatever you're lacking or whatever you're going through, the Bible has an answer for it. So therefore, we need to get in the Word. If we believe that the Word of God is true, then we need to act as if it is true. Faith without actions is dead. So therefore, you need scriptures to stand on. So, if you're sick, do you have a scripture that you're standing on? Have you hid a scripture away in your heart? If you're having some financial difficulties, you got a scripture hid away in your heart that you can stand on? Yeah? What if you're sad and depressed and you're going through a tough time? You got a scripture to stand on? Let me tell you something. If you don't, get one. Because you need to know the Word. And, you know, it's a hard thing to say, but when you're going through a struggle, it's almost too late to start scrambling. You need to hide those things in your heart beforehand. You know? Because you might not have an opportunity to start searching and doing a big Bible study when you're going through a big trial. Are you listening to me tonight? See, you got to get prepped now because we live on an earth with a curse, man. The devil's going to try and take you out and do whatever he possibly can. So you make sure you got the Word of God on the inside of you. Because if you got the Word of God on the inside of you, when the pressure comes on and you're squeezed, what's going to come out of you? The Word of God. And so that's what we need. We need to make sure that we are acting upon the Word of God, that it is alive in us. You know? And it's one thing to have the head knowledge. You can put all the scripture in your head you want. But unless it connects up with your heart and gets on the inside of you and becomes of your lifestyle and becomes who you are, you know? Because, honestly, like, you go to school and you learn all these Shakespeare things and all these poems and nursery rhymes, you know, and a lot of us can rhyme those things off, you know, but it's absolutely useless to us. And it's the same thing in the way that, you know, if we don't have the Word of God hid away on the inside of us, it's useless. We can know it, but what good is it? But if we got the Word of God on the inside and rooted down deep, like I said, when the pressure comes on, baby, that's going to come out of you. Come on now. And you got to confess it, you got to say it, you got to believe it, you got to act on it, and it's going to be good. Amen? I can't believe it. I'm going to get you 6 points tonight. There's a miracle taking place in this church. Number six ties right into number five, failure to hold fast to our confession. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you have to blab it and believe it and stand on it. Romans 10:10. New Living Translation. You got to blab it. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. That's how we became born again, is that we openly said, you know, Lord, come into my heart. We prayed that prayer. You had to confess it with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what we had to do. So we have to confess. If we're not confessing what we're believing, well, come on now. How do you know what you're believing then? Oh, I got it hid away. I'm hiding it so no one will know. Oh, well, that's real good. Come on now. You're believing for a house? Well, thank you, Jesus, for my house.
That's right.
Amen. Pastor Ken's believing for two houses. Maybe another motorcycle or two.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Thus saith the Lord. You know, sometimes your wife and the Holy Spirit are the same person. You know that? I know that. My wife and the Holy Spirit, sometimes they speak to me the same way. You know? I feel you, Pastor Kane. But you have to... I remember when we first moved to Thunder Bay, and we would drive around town, and I'd look at all these nice houses that people had and all that stuff, you know, and we just moved here, and we never had a heck of a lot. I remember saying, Lord, I thank you for our house. I thank you that we have a house. I thank you, Father God, that we have a house. I mean, every day, and Kendra would tell me to shut up. You're annoying me, you know. But it's true. I kept doing it. I said, Lord, I thank you for my house. I thank you for my house. And I did that every day. You know, I thanked the Lord. And, you know, we went to the bank. And, I mean, just the way everything worked out, we never had nothing, man. I'm surprised the bank even let us enter the door. You know, when we got in there and they looked at us, we had a conversation. They approved us for, you know, back now, it might get you a cardboard box. But back in the day, it was a little bit, you know. And it worked out that we got approved for so much money to buy a house. I was shocked, you know. But then I'm like, I've been confessing it anyway, you know. Still, the Lord is going to be gracious to us slow people, okay. Even though I was confessing it, I was still amazed that it actually worked, you know. It's cool. But I'm thankful, you know, in that little house that we bought, we're still in it today, and we've been doing it up, and praise God, we're getting ready to sell it, and we're going to build a new home, praise Jesus. Amen. We're getting ready to do that. And now my wife, you know, she's confessing about our new house. And she walks around, she goes, I'm having these cupboards in my house, I'm having these colors, I'm having these windows. She's got it right down to the moldings that she wants. She knows what furniture she wants in that house, and she's confessing it. And I'm like, oh, Lord, help me. You know? And I'm confessing, amen. Well, Lord, you got us one house, you're going to get us another one. Amen. We got a, you know, our family is growing. We got four children, praise God. That was, no, sir. Get behind me, Satan. We should have had another one. No. No. This guy is tapped out. Praise God. No more. The other child will have four legs and fur. Another one of those, maybe. A fur baby. I've been wanting another dog, so believe with me for another dog, amen? But, you know, she's confessing. She's speaking it forth. She's saying things for her new house. I'm agreeing with her. I'm standing with her. And I say things, you know, that I'm believing for. I'm thankful that this is happening. I think the finance is there that's going to pay for this. And, you know, I've even kicked it up a notch, and I'm thankful for that, you know, the sale of our house is going to be so great that when we go to build our house, we're going to have very little mortgage.
Praise God.
Amen? Because I don't like paying mortgage. I don't like paying a mortgage. That's one adult thing I don't like doing. Anyone agree with me that owns a house? How many of you like paying a mortgage?
Debt free.
What a guy. Amen? Well, we can't talk about confession without going to, like, you know, our most favorite scripture verse, Mark 11, 23, 24, and we'll close out with this one. I tell you the truth, you can what? Say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have what? No doubt in your heart. Everyone say no doubt.
No doubt.
I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you'll receive it, it will be yours. So like I said, now I'm confessing and I'm believing that we got our house. It's built and it's paid off, amen? And that here at this church, we're believing that this church building is built, the new auditorium is built, and it's paid off, amen? That's what we're believing. That's what we're standing on. So that's not going to be a hindrance to our faith right there. So what you confess is what you are. Everyone stand on your feet. If you confess, well, that's my baby. If you confess with your mouth that you are healed, healthy, and whole, and you stand on the Word of God, you got Scripture to back that up, and you know who you are in Christ, it's got to be yours. The Word of God don't lie. That's who you are. You got to confess it, amen? Look, it sums up with these four important steps. You think right, you believe right, you speak right, and you'll be all right. Come on now. Let's say that together. We think right. Believe right, speak right, and be all right. It's going to work out great. So we got to forget about these hindrances. You know what? We do the exact opposite of what these hindrances are. We get into the Word of God. We find out who we are in Christ. We find out what belongs to us. We find out what's in our righteousness. We confess the Word. We believe the Word. We act upon the Word, ladies and gentlemen. And we grow our faith. Come on, we stand on the Word of God. It's true. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody in this place, let's just thank the Lord for His Word, that it's so good. Come on, let's just thank Him right now for those situations that we have been going through, but He's given us the answer and He's given us the victory. Come on, let's just thank Him for that victory right now in your life. Come on, act like it's so. Come on. Yes! Yes! Hallelujah. Healing has to take place in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Restoration. Families are being brought back together in the name of Jesus. Lives are being changed and transformed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to stay alert from these hindrances of faith and make sure they don't get in. We need to make sure that we're not allowing them to tear us down and get us off our A game. But we need to make sure that we're focused on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we're doing what He wants us to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're in this place and you've been struggling, you've been having a hard time, you know, something might be bugging you, you know, there's hindrances in your life, and they need to go. Or if you need to get back on track with Jesus tonight, you know, if you might be here and you're not born again, and well, tonight's a great night to get born again so you can get on track with Jesus. Because He's only got good things in store for me and you. And then once you get on track with Him, you start learning, you start growing, you start developing, man, your life will be changed forever. So if you're in this place, you need to get back on track, or you need to accept Jesus for the first time as your Lord and personal Savior. If you're watching online and you need the same thing, I'm going to pray a prayer. You're going to repeat after me, everybody in this place. And tonight we're going to rededicate our lives to Jesus. Everyone repeat after me. Say, Jesus, tonight I dedicate my life to You. 100%. I don't want any hindrances in my life that's going to cut me off from You. From this moment forward, I choose to follow You, Lord. I love You, Jesus. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank You for dying on the cross for me. Thank You for giving me salvation. Thank You for giving me healing. Thank You for giving me restoration. Today, I choose to follow You. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's just thank the Lord for His goodness one last time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, You're so good. You're so good. Amen. Praise You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I came to church tonight. Amen.